This is KUOW. I'm Kim Malcolm. Big changes could be coming to our Pacific Northwest climate, but for many of us, it's a problem too big to wrap our heads around. Climatologist Philip Mote has been studying climate change for 2 decades. And for our series, The Burning Question, he told me about 4 big impacts that Washington is likely to see.
The first is heat waves. We've already seen an increase in heat waves, and particularly in high nighttime temperatures. So for the Northwest, that's actually a fairly low bar. Temperatures not falling below about 60 degrees can actually cause physiological stress because most of our houses are not air conditioned and need that nighttime cooling. Second is recreation. So if we go out and hike or fish or ski, there are changes out in the natural environment that are already pretty obvious. The third has to do with water supply. Most of our cities rely on snowmelt to provide water in spring and summer. And in a warming world, there's less snow and therefore less water in spring and summer. And then the fourth is air quality. As we saw in the summer of 2017, wildfires, even pretty far away, can lead to very smoky conditions that lead to respiratory problems.
I remember when we were speaking earlier, you mentioned the summer of 2015, particularly as an analogy. Can you expand on that a little bit?
2015 was unusual in several ways, but it started with a record warm winter, which really depleted snowpack in Oregon and Washington especially. And that led to a whole series of consequences, low stream flows in the spring and summer, harmful algal blooms, wildfires, and agriculture in Washington suffered roughly a $700 million hit in 2015 connected to reductions in water supply and other factors. So it was a pretty dramatic year, and it's no longer something that we're predicting will eventually happen. It's already here. And 2015 is not yet typical, but it is representative of what could become typical.
What kinds of effects will people who live close to the water line see, people living around Puget Sound?
Well, there are a couple of effects of sea level rise. One is direct inundation. So very low-lying areas like Harbor Island in Seattle and parts of downtown Olympia are not very far above the waterline. And so it's not hard to imagine that in another 20 to 50 years that there could be events where a high tide actually puts a lot of seawater up where it's never been before. The second effect, though, has to do with the way that the shoreline is continually changing. When you have a high water event at the base of, say, a bluff, like along Magnolia, parts of Whidbey Island and elsewhere in the Sound, that high water can actually erode the bluff such that there's a bluff failure or a big chunk of bluff that slides down. And that means that it's not just the areas close to sea level that can be affected by sea level rise. It can actually be much more substantial areas.
Let's move beyond Puget Sound now. And on the other side of the mountains, how will things change in eastern Washington?
Well, a couple of the main effects over there that are relevant are the changing water availability for agriculture. Most of the agriculture in eastern Washington is irrigated, and reduced snowpack, as we saw in 2015, can really affect the water availability. And another major factor is wildfires. The natural ecosystem of forests in eastern Washington includes frequent low-intensity fires, but through a combination of forest management and climate change, we're seeing larger, higher-intensity fires. And these lead to air quality effects, as we've seen in numerous recent summers, but also to what's called a stand replacement. That is, instead of just burning the low undergrowth, which actually helps the forest, sometimes the entire tree is killed or entire stands of trees are killed. And then some new kind of forest will grow behind it, behind the fire. And that could be quite a different type of forest and quite a different type of ecosystem.
What are some of the things that you're thinking about that are not going to be so obvious to the human eye, but are still going to have an impact?
Some of the things that are going to be most problematic are probably things that scientists haven't even anticipated yet. As we look back over the last 100 years of a changing planet, there have been many instances where science was surprised, where something happened that we didn't even anticipate, like the ozone hole discovered in the mid-1980s. But, you know, the biological world is extremely complex, and the way that species and ecosystems react to change is difficult to predict. So we could see different kinds of invasive species, both plants and animals and insects that we haven't seen before. So we really don't know what all is in store for us in this changing world.
Philip Moat directs the Climate Change Institute at Oregon State University. Previously, he was the Washington State climatologist. All this month, we're reporting on climate change in our new series, The Burning Question. What would a climate-friendly Seattle actually look like? You can find out more at kuow.org. This is KUOW. I'm Kim Malcolm.